The following podcast contains about two dirty words.
A Wiggly World 129.
A Wiggly World, a Wiggly World. Hello, friends. I'm just going to warn you right up front. I'm a little jacked up today. I have a lot on my plate. I'm actually right in the middle of a song, but I wanted to come on and do a brief Wiggly World to tell you that I'm not going to do a non-brief Wiggly World today. I thought I could tweet it, but much rather create a Wiggly World saying that I'm not going to do a Wiggly World. Then again, you know, it's been a long time since we talked. Just in the past week. Look what has unfolded in the span of a Friday to a Friday, in the span of 8 days. Tragedies, turmoil, terrible journalism, ignorant comments by pseudo celebrities, and we started bombing Libya as well, United States and France, and I believe some European type nations. So, wow. I don't know about you, but I know that definitely between Chiz and myself, just the whole tragedy in Japan has just really, like, it's hard to put it into words, because it almost seems like it's imposing on my life if I say it's infringed, it's seeped into I guess our, you know, and then I sound new wavy, our global consciousness, but it really is. It's because of how far our technology has come with the video capabilities of cell phone, the instant information, the ability to be, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away and share in that. It truly has made this whole world a global community. It's not just like a cliche. We really can feel the pain. We really can feel there. We see some things now completely unedited. You know, not censored at all. Our journalists, whose only job is to be stoic or disassociated, factual, their only job is to report the news. And, you know, they're just like we are. They're, look at that. Huh? And it's you know, it's horrible enough to you know, catch a glimpse of these things, but to have absolutely no, I didn't see, well, then again, I don't watch the news all the time, but I and believe me, my whole focus isn't just on the journalists, but it's so bizarre. It's just so surreal. Chiz and I have a friend that was in Japan. He just touched down maybe 2 or 3 days earlier before the earthquake and the tsunami. And he has like I don't know if it's an internship or if it's some type of college thing where he was interning at Disney over there. And then the whole, you know, the whole thing occurred, and it's like his family and all that tragedy. If you haven't already donated or feel like donating again and not be worried about your monies perhaps being funneled into sending missionaries over there with Bibles to further take advantage of the already fragile psyche of the people of Japan, go to wetalkgames.com. In the right-hand column, I put a little widget that is completely free of any type of superstitious agenda. I just cannot get the neurons firing today. It's gonna be a little rough. But like I said, I it's been a long time since we talked. I don't even want to get into the fact that you know, we after the last elections, the red is rising in the United States of America. Of course, the two reasons we put red back in charge is to get our jobs back and fix the economy. And so far, we've seen is the initiative to dismantle institutes that distribute social information to us, strip reproductive rights from women, take food and heat away from the poor and poverty-stricken, funnel our tax dollars to Christian schools via a voucher system, and continue the tax breaks, which were only to be a limited run of tax breaks to help stimulate the economy, make people go out and buy things, continue to give this, extend this to the obscenely wealthy, and further widen the gap of the economic dichotomy. And surely this is a great foundation to help get jobs. But I'm not even going to mention that. Not at all. That's not why I'm here. Since the last time I was in your earballs, I did about maybe 6 or 7 different Wiggly Worlds other topics. I don't even remember what most of the topics were. Really streamlined, really focused in on those topics, not going all over the place like I've already done. But of course, I've only recorded these in my mind because I haven't had time to sit down and put it to the zeros and ones. There's been a lot of things in my personal life. You know, the home. I had to go get an ultrasound on my shoulder because the doctor felt like this soft tissue under my shoulder blade. So he wanted to make sure it wasn't a lump versus just a spasm. So I had to go in for an ultrasound. And, you know, I went in for, because I have a stiff neck. I just went, like, some muscle relaxers for my neck. I got a stiff neck. I'm bipolar. I stare at things. I stare and stare and stare, and I get a stiff neck. It doesn't matter if I stretch. Doesn't matter if I get a massage. Doesn't matter if I crack my neck or, you know, do headstands or spin on my head and break dancing. It doesn't matter. Do the worm on my neck. It doesn't matter. Use a head harness to lift a safe up a flight of stairs. It doesn't matter. I get a stiff neck. So I just want some muscle relaxers, and that's what took me. I had a sore neck. That's why I had to go in for that whole debacle with the brain aneurysm. Get a CAT scan and a MRI and an MRA, and now I had to get an ultrasound of my hairy back. My hairy back, the lady in there, you know, I almost was in stirrups or something. You know, here's the lady with her magic wand with the belly jelly on it going over all my back fuzz fur coat. I didn't get to shave because Kyle was supposed to shave my back, and the last time when we did the when we went, it would still be shaved all this time now. We haven't had the nair out in a little while. I'm gonna get the hedge clippers. I'm gonna be over my back with that. I just need some muscle relaxers. That's all. So that happened. I've been doing that. been getting you know, jelly on my back, and I gotta tell you, you know, the radiologist, she was kind of cute. I think that's radiology, right? Even if you do ultrasounds, right? All right, but there's one. I'm out of hand. There is one podcast that I want to do, and it's actually something I want to put forward and probably release as the next episode. There was a person from New Delhi that I got. See, I know what's on the other side of this, and you don't. And because I don't know if you remember that episode I did quite a while back. It was like, you know, Wiggly debates 16-year-old Facebook theologian, you know, that type of thing. It's another. I allowed myself to get drawn into this thread on Facebook. My buddy Phil sent me a link to this video. He thought it would be a good idea to maybe talk about on a future episode of A Wiggly World. Well, I watched the video, and it was one of these Kirk Cameron's based on a true story of a kid that wrote a story about what he thought it would be like if he went to hell in high school, and it's his story, which is not true, but it's truly his story, so it's a true story. And he goes to Hellfire, and his friends aren't there, and he's like, hey, I got schoolwork. and it's a nightmare. You know, it's just a brimstone and Buell puppy. A true hell would be living forever anywhere with the people that were writing in this thread. That would be hell. But I digress. As always, why not? I went there, and it's the video was of no interest to me because it's stuff I've already talked about on previous shows. Like I mentioned, I once again allowed myself to tickety-typety in this thread, just because it was basically what it was like. It was like this. Someone would say a line of scripture. I'd respond with several lines of scripture, a little bit of philosophy, a little bit of reasoning, another line of scripture, some sarcasm, and then they would respond with the same line of scripture that they started with. And, you know, I wrote far. I could have filled at least a few pages of a book with all that I wrote. It's just a complete waste of time. It's silly. It's completely silly. But this one person from, I don't know if she was initiated the thread or not. She was from New Delhi and initially. And she moved to the States, I believe. Although it wasn't said, it says moved here. I don't know where that here could be anywhere. I moved here. The moon. I don't know. Do they have internet on the moon? Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi on the moon. She's quite a nice person, but it basically boils down to this: why don't you believe anymore? And even though I've already explained everything in this thread, which was a complete waste of time, I thought, you know, it would be nice. I just direct her to some of my Wiggly Worlds where I talk about this. It wasn't like one day I woke up, I said, I don't believe in God anymore. It was a process, just like the whole process of religion came about. Right? I don't think that someone, woke up one day, an ancient man, and he said, I'm going to create a false religion. Because if they did, they would have put it all, hey, I'm God. Worship me. You know, it wasn't about that. It was about the sky creatures, basically. And, it all had to do with, it's not hard to extrapolate back that you see the two closest celestial bodies, which would be, that look the closest, I should say, which would be the sun and the moon. And you, of course, ascribe, anthropomorphize these giant objects. So, it's not a stretch. It's not a stretch to see how this could be the inklings, the twilight of God talk, God's talk. Also, too, when I started coming out of religion, it wasn't an overnight thing. It was something I had to really look introspectively. I really had to examine who I was, what I believed, why I believed, and I was always searching for proofs of my belief. I don't want a hollow belief, you can say that, oh no, it's by faith that you know these things to be true. Well, I'll probably talk about it. I'll definitely talk about faith on this focused episode. But I really need a focused episode because that's what happened. I looked back, so I'll just direct her this. Here I am, talking about coffee, talking about how to wash your utensils, and all this other pro wrestling and everything else. So, as you know, I go all over the place, and that's just how my brain works. Now, it's not hard for me to stay on. It's not hard for me to free flow anything about religion. I can go right now, but it is hard for me to stay on topic. And for that, I think I just need to create a bullet list so that when I do find myself going a little bit too far away, I can just hit another point, just to keep in mind what the original question was. So I'm going to put together a focused Wiggly World next episode I hope that we'll stay on target, and then I'll be able to just, you know, mail these things instead of, you know, getting into these horrible debate. You know, it's not even a debate. It's an embarrassment to me to have been sucked into these things. But of course, I'm not afraid to show my ass. That's why I talk about it. But let's talk about what I've been ripping to my digital media library. In other words, television type horror. I ripped the 5 episodes I owned of Bigfoot and Wild Boy. And this is so I can share it throughout the house on my XBMC. I use XBMC on two real old ancient PCs that I just put the XBMC live on. If you don't know about this XBMC, it's the media server that I use for everything. It's an interface, you could say. So it's sort of like Netflix, but you could do karaoke and you can do, you know, music and you could do videos and television shows and even applications. I've never done the applications part of it. It was originally developed for the original Xbox. That's why it's called the XBMC. And you would hack out your original Xbox and you would put this interface on it. And it would allow you to even do your, you know, your backed up games so that you didn't have to scratch your DVDs when you would want to put them in there. You just play them right off the hard drive that you would hack and put a bigger hard drive in. But this also has the ability to stream your media collection, your movies and televisions from external servers. And I have, you know, an external server. And then my Apple TV, I broke that out, put the XBMC on there. I have these two Linux boxes that I put it on. And even now, every now and again, you can do it on your Mac. It works on Mac, PC, and Linux. And the original Xbox. So I don't just, you know, download everything from the internet to watch. I also have my own collection, and I sincerely put it on there because of ease of use, and then I don't have to, you know, try to get out a DVD and all this other business. I can look at it. You can use what are called scrapers to scrape the cover of the DVD to put a background in. I've made a lot of my own covers, and this is all, you know, this is all subplot to my life. These are all the little things that I need to keep going underneath when I'm doing my work, or else you know, I don't really know what ADD is, but I need to keep constantly stimulated in order to stay on target. So I always have several things running simultaneously. Much like I'm writing music while I'm talking to you now. Now, of course, I had to take a little break, but I am doing that. And while I'm like talking to you, I could be ripping things in the background. So recently, I've put on the 5 episodes of Bigfoot and Wild Boy I bought off some fella. I don't know, you know, it was like on online, and he had it recorded from his, you know, Betamax or something. And there was also a 6th episode that came off of the Sid and Marty Krofft compilations. I think it was Volume 2. I have 6 episodes of Bigfoot and Wild Boy. I recorded all 52 episodes of the 1967 Spider-Man. I think I own that big set. So I have all those great Spider-Man cartoons from 1967, which are just so amazing. Number one, you talk about a mixed bag. Now, I know Ralph Bakshi was involved with this. I don't know for how long. I don't know what he did. I don't know too much about it. But all I know is that there were one or two types of episodes of Spider-Man. Either one where he would go against established villains from the Spider-Man comic book, or others. Well, actually, there's three. Others would be where he would go against people that were, they could have been heroes from his comic book. Maybe they might have even been like Batman's villains or Skyboy, the one person was. And then there would be the ones that are just completely fucked up. It's Spider-Man swinging over a tie-dyed T-shirt. He's swinging from like a cave. He's swinging from stalactites and stalagmites and batmites. And I mean, it's just insane. I don't know what's going on here. And, you know, he's fighting like a dragon that comes out of a daffodil. And I'm not even making that up. So I put them all on there, and I haven't watched these in a long time. I started going through them. I only made it maybe about two discs in. Now I'll be able to watch them all when I, you know, eat pancakes or something. But I was just reading some of the names. I was like, oh, this has got to be the one where it's just completely insane. And right now, I'm right in the middle of the Hudson Brothers Razzle Dazzle show. I'm putting that on the media server so I can rewatch those. I've watched those start to finish. I'm a little disappointed at the end. They were repeats. They would cut them together differently, though. It'd be like, the first part of one, the second part of another. Or they do half shows. Here's some new bits. Come back from commercial. It's episode one. Did that, and then the next one in the queue is Pink Lady. Now, I don't know if you know about Pink Lady, but there was talk about Sid and Marty Krofft doing weird things. They did Hudson Brothers, they did Bigfoot and Wild Boy. Does anybody remember Pryor's Place? Richard Pryor had a kids show. I mean, wow. And it was like, I mean, I hate to draw this analogy, but it was sort of like Bill Cosby, because it had like Pryor's kids and it showed Richard, except instead of in a cartoon, it was, you know, live action, and Richard was in school and stuff like this. And you know, it'd be like, it was like a live action version of the Cosby kids. Hey, you save on paying cartoonists. There you go. You just got to pay these kid actors. And I mean, Richard looks like he's completely on something. I don't know what was going on there. You know, I don't know what was going on with him. But yeah, Sid and Marty Krofft thought this was a good idea. And I also thought Pink Lady and Jeff was also a very good idea. Now, in Japan, Pink Lady was a very popular singing duo. And Jeff Altman, he's almost a comedian, and this is sort of like their answer to Tony Orlando and Dawn, I guess. Instead of having black sidekicks, they have Asian side. He has Asian side. Now, that's all I could think, because they Jeff is wearing the same like tuxedo Tony Orlando wore. I don't know. It's a truly bizarre show. I love it. They do, Pink Lady sings, you know, they could barely speak English. And they sing great disco hits. And some of the stuff is just so, so funny with the enunciation of it. And every episode has to end with them in a hot tub. And then they have like a fake sumo guy. It's just, if you ever get to see Pink Lady and Jeff, 1980s, it's really something. I mean, I don't know. Jerry Lewis is even in one of the episodes. And they would have special guests like Red Buttons and Jerry Lewis. And Alice Cooper was on the one. But I don't think he was like in studio. It was really weird. Sid Caesar, Donny Osmond, Larry Hagman, Teddy Pendergrass. Hey, Greg Evigan from BJ and the Bears on there. So you know it's got to be Hugh Hefner. Lorne Greene, Sid Caesar and Dog Boomer. I remember the Red Button sketch. I remember Jerry Lewis. He was like, you know, who are you? And so are all of you. Red Buttons was on a couple. Roy Orbison, Bobby Vinton. Jim Varney. That's right. Jim Varney was in these episodes as well. You know, Vern guy. Burt Parks, Blondie, Sherman Helmsley. I forgot about that. So, yeah, every now and again, I have to go back through these. It's truly an amazing show. Pink Lady. My goodness. So, that's up next in the queue. Speaking of famous shows, favorite shows and famous shows as well. Speaking of shows, hey, remember, I don't know, a couple episodes back, a couple months, I was talking about Space Ghost Coast to Coast and trying to get a hold of those. And now I see that it's on Adult Swim. From the Cartoon Network, the Adult Swim is now running Space Ghost Coast to Coast. And fortunately, my TiVo has been recording it. My TiVo must have heard me talking about it on the last Wiggly World, because I download that on my TiVo. And now it thinks I like that show. And I was actually able to grab some of those episodes off my TiVo and put it into my media library of the... I think I found the second season of Space Ghost online, and I was able to get that. The Coast to Coast, not the original Herculoids and... what was that fella that... Space Ghost and Thunderhorn Flying Caveman Boy. I can't remember. Monkey. I can't remember. Not his two sidekicks. Not three sidekicks, I should say. Boy. I don't know. I remember that Flying Viking Caveman. With a, and not Captain Caveman. Like, he was like a Herculoid looking dude. Dino Boy. So that's on good. So, hey, you know what? That reminds me. I just want to say this really quickly. If you happen to be a writer for, let's say, a show that they record in New York, maybe in the city, and you happen to be a writer and you happen to listen to my shows, some of my past back catalog or something like this, and you... let's say, enjoy the vernacular and colloquialisms of myself and those associated with me, and you happen to put some of this stuff into some of your writings for whomever that might be in the New York televised area, just send me an email. I'm good at keeping secrets. I won't tell anybody. And, also like a sandwich. Send me a sandwich in the mail. I appreciate that. So, Space Ghost Coast, did I tell you about Jiminy Glick? I've been trying to get Jiminy Glick, and I cannot find this anywhere. And evidently, he tried to do this two times. I didn't even remember that he attempted to bring this character out twice. But that was an interview show. I found his movie out there, which was like Tinseltown. I can't recall the name of it right now. But so I found a movie, and that was very good. But I mean, this is way before Borat or anything like that. And what a great character! It never caught on. I think it was just too much ahead of its time. It was sort of like Mr. Mike's Mondo Video. Mr. Mike's Mondo Video is quite entertaining, but he's the guy that also created the Coneheads on the original Saturday Night Live and some other skits. But I think his stuff was really, really bizarre because, it's very realized, It's like, what is this bizarre world you're bringing to me? It's very realized. And I think that helped Aykroyd a lot with his like the Blues Brothers and all that. And even the Ghostbusters, I think those are very developed concepts that fortunately resonated with the fans. But this Jiminy Glick, I'm just in love with him, and I wish I had that type of interviewing prowess that Glick possesses. But let's talk about more modern television. That's what I like to talk about. Enough of this religious mumbo jumbo. Let's talk about other type of superstitions. Modern day myths. Well, one thing, speaking of myths, and things I don't miss, that was horrible. Let's talk about, of course, let's spend our 20 seconds of pro wrestling. Raw has become to like Tuesday morning breakfast background noise. I watch until like I finish my second cup of coffee, and that's about all I take of that. As far as TNA goes, I've watched about 5 minutes of TNA in like the last 6 weeks. I just watch until Karen Angle comes on, and then I press delete. I hit back, and I hit exit, and exit on my remote deletes the episode. And I think it might be sad. Most of the time it happens like pre-show. I see them, boom, it's gone. So I don't even know what's going on. Last time I checked in, Sting is like the champion or something, and this last episode actually looked pretty good. I was I was enjoying the opening cluster that usually goes on there, good old TNA style. But then it cut backstage, and Kurt Angle has like a box, going to give it to the newlyweds or something. And I'm like, goodbye. I just will not be a part of that. I will not be, and it's sad because it looked like interesting things might have happened later on. Daily Show, I still enjoy that. Still enjoy the Colbert Report. And the great thing about Colbert and Stewart is I'm not envious of their position in a jealous or angry way, like I am with a lot that's on television or award shows or anything else like that. I really appreciate what they do. I think that they're at the top of their game. I think they're perfect for the roles, and it doesn't elicit any type of animosity, like Chris Jericho does. I'm very happy for Chris Jericho. He seems like a nice fella. We share a very similar interests. But brass tacks, I mean, the guy can only do two things better than me, I think. He can out-wrestle me, and he can out-hair me. And then just about everything else that he does in the public eye, I think I might have the edge, like music, yucks, and I don't know, perhaps even social value or something like that. But I like Jon Stewart, and I like Stephen Colbert. They're perfect in their current roles, and I've enjoyed both of them, even outside of those shows like Death to Smoochie, and Strangers with Candy. So I'm happy for them. And usually Mythbusters I like, but I guess they ran out of giant pigs to mutilate in some way post-mortem. And I say this, and I hope that none of them are dead. I don't know what's going on. But I guess they're on hiatus or something. I don't know what's going on. I better check into that before I go shout my mouth off. And what else? What else is good on? I just haven't been catching a lot of good science shows. I haven't been catching a lot of good anything recently. It seems like all the shows I really like are also on hiatus. Oh, I know what I've been doing. I am almost all the way through the entire series of Dark Angel. Now, if you know anything about it, I used to poop on the Dark Angel. And more directly, the acting abilities of Jessica Alba. Now, Jessica Alba, of course, I'm following her on Twitter now. She's a proud mommy. She's a yogi mommy. She's into yoga and mommyisms and, shamanistic type of voodoo guru type of things. Guru mommy, I think, something like this. Who knows? Who cares? But, I don't know. Maybe she was an anti-vaccinist. I don't know. But I hope not. I sort of did a couple things at her, but I'm sure everybody does things at her, and she doesn't look at any of them. But I always criticized her acting abilities in this series. And you know what? I got to tell you, I think she probably did the best she could with what she was given. This series was all over the place. Some of it I was really enjoying. Some of it was actually almost sci-fi. But it never really knew what it was. But one neat thing is that Ashley Scott, if you remember The Moon of Ashley Scott, do the other thing, go to The Moon of Ashley Scott. Ashley Scott is in this. So we have Birds of Prey lead in Jessica Alba at one point, and Anna Visitor. And I think at one point, either I had just seen Anna Visitor, or it was Anna Visitor, Jessica Alba, and Ashley Scott all in the same scene. And I almost exploded down below, because it's just so much unusual beauty. One thing I think that you could say about all three of those lovely ladies of television is that they are unique beauties. Did I say unusual? I meant unique. Well, unique and unusual can be beautiful. And complimentary, I mean. So, yeah, I think they're all quite uniquely beautiful women, and just like it blew my mind. You know, it's like, wow, I need another drink. I usually do watch this in Sloppy Joe's. But what a mishmash. Sometimes it's really compelling. And then, you know, they had that whole phase where, hey, how could we be like Beauty and the Beast? Which was also, I guess, on television at the time. And so they get a giant dog guy, and he lives in the sewers. Oh, that's a lot of stretch. And, it's just, some of it's just so terrible. But other parts, I was liking. So I don't know how I feel about it. Definitely, The Invisible Woman is something that Jessica Alba should not have even been cast in. But it's once again these superhero flicks going for the star power, the names. You know, they really got lucky. They really got lucky with Iron Man. They wanted to go for the star power. They got Robert Downey Jr. I don't know if he was, you know, in the market at that time or whatever, but they really lucked out with him. But, you know that story about Hellboy, and they wanted to cast The Rock as Hellboy. And Guillermo, I can never say his name. Guillermo said, well, if you want to cast The Rock as Hellboy, you better go get Stone Cold Steve Austin to direct it. And, that's what they want to do. I mean, the Wild Wild West, and what, who they get to be, to play the part of Conrad, to get, freaking Will, Fresh Prince Will Smith. So that's pretty much, I think, all I've been watching has been maybe The Daily Show, Colbert Report, and Dark Angel. But there are two more shows. One is a lead-in. That's my palate cleanser that I watch right before this show. And this has got to be my favorite show on television right now. It's called Fashion Police with Joan Rivers on the E! Entertainment Network. I don't know anything about fashion. I don't know the majority of the people that they're mentioning on here. I wish they would have like a lower third that would tell us what they're famous for. I have no idea. But I just love this show so much. It is sort of like watching, you know, a celebrity roast every day. And that's what I mean. You could be watching wrestling, or you could be watching that Donald Trump roast. It was just, I would rather be watching something that's going to entertain me. Even a situation. Did you see the situation on this Donald Trump roast? Oh my gosh. There's something, there's very little in television that I could be thankful for. That I could be thankful for, of how he died. Now, I don't know if they cut it to make it look worse than it was, or even better than it was. I don't know. But I'm glad that went down the way it did. But I love Fashion Police, and I watch the web soup. Not the web soup. That would be pathetic. No, I watched The Soup before it, which used to be called Talk Soup. And I really like The Soup. I sort of was losing interest with The Soup when Daniel Tosh, the Tosh.0, started coming out, because that sort of was the same thing, but with, I don't, once again, the Soup, I don't really know what's going on. I don't know what these shows are. I couldn't even tell, I could not tell you what day of the week or channel, Rock Dancing with the Stars, Star Search, what's that called? Leave it to Singing, Sing It with the Beaver, what's it called? American Idol, Jersey Shore. I don't even know what channels these things are on. I don't know what day, what time, what channel. The only reason I know about these shows is from The Soup. But because Joel McHale is so funny and so entertaining, I enjoy watching the show. And, like, you know, it does, at least I know. I don't know how I would be exposed to these things if it wasn't for that show. It just wouldn't make any sense to me. I guess I would hear people talking about it, but I don't really converse with people about things like that. So unless I see it on some other type of show, I really don't know. But like Daniel Tosh sort of took this thing out of it, but his show hasn't been so good this season. He's been dying a lot with his web redemptions. He should just table that. And I also am not a big fan of bones breaking in half, so that's another problem. But I love this the soup. We Chiz and I will watch that, and then we love to watch Fashion Police. It's just it's so wrong, and yet it's so right, and it's so funny. And I enjoy a roasting spirit. And see, when mean spiritedness comes from a comedian, you have to deal with things on an individual level. You know, if a comedian is saying something mean, it depends on what it is, the context and everything else. Then that's different than someone that's supposed to be, you know, talking about something completely different says that same thing completely out of context. That's the thing. When it's a comedian doing it, it's in the context of comedy. All right. So that's what a difference is there. So I enjoy it. I'm not trying to justify people being mean, but I enjoy this. You know, sometimes it goes too far, but for the most part, I'm very entertained by it. Once again, I have no idea who the majority of these people are, but I really enjoy it. And that's another thing I want to bring up. So I thought it'd be great to have like a Fashion Police T-shirt or something. You know, who's going to look at me and say your favorite show right now is Fashion Police? Nobody. Because it's Courtship of Eddie's Father. I mean, that's another thing I've been watching. Courtship of Eddie's Father. I got every episode. I've been watching that and A Dark Angel. So, you know, those are my favorite shows. Honeymooners, Odd Couple, Sanford and Son, Courtship of Eddie's Father, Pink Lady. You know, these type of things. Who's going to... imagine me wearing an entertainment e-online, e-entertainment, whatever the hell the name of the network is, a Fashion Police shirt. So I go there. Not only do they not have a Fashion Police t-shirt, but every t-shirt for the e-network is a link to Cafe Press. The e-network's distribution of t-shirts is done on a one-off basis via Cafe Press. Suddenly I don't feel so bad about my distribution reach. At least I have, you know, silkscreen shirts, real shirts. I said I wasn't going to do a show today, and I'm almost an hour in. I can see myself easily going an hour. I don't want to give too much here, but just to delve lightly into what I'm up against. I often talk about this thing on A View, and I never knew who the person was. Sherry Shepherd. It was Sherry Shepherd from The View. The View is a television show that used to have, I don't even know who's on it anymore. But he used to have Barbara Walters. I think Rosie O'Donnell was on it for a while. Whoopi Goldberg. Jane Newhart. I can't recall her name. Funny lady, a comedian. And some annoying born-again fundamentalist. But this Sherry Shepherd is the one that said this astonishing phrase here. Let's take a listen.
But it's very interesting that you say, because I think happiness is such a temporal thing.
They're talking about, I guess, Jane Joan was talking about something, a quote from Epicurus or something. And, Epicurus was all about being happy. You've heard the saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die, that type of thing. That's attributed to this Epicurean philosophy. And I've talked about Epicurus before, and one of my favorite quotes by him. But here's Sherry Shepherd talking about her own beliefs here. And go. And play. All right, I guess I got to reload that.
Very interesting that you say, because I think happiness is such a temporal thing. I think it's very interesting that family wasn't in there, that spirituality wasn't in there about being happy. But you can be happy on a Wednesday, and on a Thursday you're not happy. I think, friends to me will always let you down, even your truest friends. That's how you grow. You will always get let down by your friends.
But that's okay, isn't it?
But then you're talking about the keys to happiness. And I'm just saying that is your opinion. For me, I'm just going, what about believing in something bigger than you so that when you go through
that.
Stuff, I know he
says rational thought, which would basically keep religion out of it, because religion is faith that's not rational thought.
Wait, you
that's
said what?
Right.
I said religion is faith.
It's not, it was faith.
No.
Well, it doesn't matter if she said it was fake or faith. Religion is faith. It's not rational thought. That's true. But that's not the part. Here we go.
Probably when he was around, there was no Jesus Christ stuff
going
on.
But they still had Christians back then.
No,
So she's saying there were still Christians in 300 B.C.
They had Christians because they threw them to the lions. I think this might predate Christians.
No.
The Greeks came first.
Yes, the Greeks were first. Then the Romans, then the Christians.
Jesus came first before them.
Not on paper.
Whoopi is really trying to, you know, be diplomatic about this. On paper, Jesus did not come first. But yet there were still Christians before Jesus was even born, I guess, because he was always there. So that's what I always talk about, that Sherry Shepherd. And sorry the quality's so bad. I'm just grabbing it off YouTube. Sherry, you can just look. I looked up Jesus predates everything and The View, and that's what I came up with. And this was the longest version of it, so that's what it's about.
It doesn't matter anyway. They didn't believe in Jesus. They believed in polytheism, many gods.
Well, Epicurus actually didn't believe in many gods. He didn't believe in any gods. But the whole thing of this is that, you know, this I can't really knock Sherry that she doesn't share her view is similarly misunderstood, and her view is not uncommon, let's put it that way. I mean, it may be different. There might be people that aren't that ignorant to actual history, but it is not unique by any means. But she actually believes that Christianity came before Hinduism, Confucianism, Zoroastrianism, Egyptian deities, Sumerian, Babylonian, the Greek pantheon, religions that weren't from the Middle East, and the plethora of contemporary religions that were running in parallel with Christianity. And Christ, I mean, even the foundation for Christianity, which is inarguably Judaism. I mean, you had the Old Testament. That was an important part. I mean, even in her faith, her Bible doesn't just come with the New Testament. Now, I have seen just New Testaments out there. But most of those, I don't want to say, because I don't really have any numbers. But I know sometimes you will go into, like, say, a hotel and you only have the New Testament. But it's very rare to be able to get a Bible that isn't the Old and New Testament. So, you know, that's definitely one thing it was based on. It was also, you know, it's an amalgam. Well, I'll get into this next episode. But one great quote that I like to read from Epicurus, and I'll probably read it on that standalone episode as well. And I just love this. It's you know, you don't really need to go anywhere else other than this question. Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is not omnipotent. Is he able but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil? Is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God? I love you, Epicurus, and I want to marry you because I love you. But so much more, so many more great quotes that are not religious. Do not spoil what you have by desiring what you have not. Remember that what you now have was once among the things you only hoped for. And these are things I've always said. It's been turned into other things throughout the years. But it's amazing if you want to talk about some wisdom and some good stuff. I think this is some good stuff here. I am known to say, well, if you want everything that you want, if you want to have everything that you want everything you already have, and then you will have that. I suck. Let's see. So many goods. You don't develop courage by being happy in your relationships every day. You develop it by surviving difficult times and challenging adversity. He who says either that the time for philosophy has not yet come or that it has passed is like someone who says that the time for happiness has not yet come or it has passed. To eat and drink without a friend is to devour like the lion and the wolf. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Here's one I definitely like to live by. Let no one delay the study of philosophy while young, nor weary of it when old.
I could quote
Epicurus till my eyeballs fall out. But let's hear another thing here. Oh, here, Elizabeth Hasselbeck. That's the other one. Let's hear what she has to say here. Give her a stage here.
You look at a great bag, right? And you say,
wait,
a bag. And you say, oh my goodness, who's the designer?
One of us.
A bag that
you have.
Yeah. Not one of you.
Yeah.
You look at a pair of shoes you like. You say, who's the designer? I love those shoes.
Yeah.
They're perfect. They're
right.
Gorgeous.
Right.
So then for me, it seems odd not to ask the question when you look at things that are so perfect, like a child or the human eye and its complexity.
And what about things that are not
designed?
Perfect?
Now, there's Joan Bearhart, jumping in, which saying the exact same things that, of course, I'm sure all of you are thinking.
Why not think?
Who designed the things that are bad?
And I then
I got the point. I got the point.
Well, maybe someone else didn't yet. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm with you. I think behind everything, for me, I think behind everything, God designed it. But when you say, who designed bad stuff,
yeah.
I think, we're all imperfect people. We're in an imperfect world.
What about cockroaches? Who designed those?
They are God. I think God.
Think about the purpose of every living creature,
really?
Or a child. Like, how do you think something just popped up? You would never go to, you love Italy, you would never go look at the David and say, oh my gosh, that just combusted and came
right.
Wow. This is what you're up against when you go into someone that doesn't really look into things, that doesn't really question. And you know what? I want to try to take a step back, and I don't want to use that terminology so much. And once again, I might be stepping on things I might repeat next episode, if I can do that episode next time. But all throughout tit tat, I guess you would call it, on the Facebook thread. You can see both sides being frustrated and say, open your eyes! You know? None are so blind as those who will not see. And that's always how you think someone with a differing view needs to just get slapped and, come to their senses. So I want to try to stay away from that terminology that would draw me into that type of... sentiment going here. She's not truly seeing things, because she could say the same to me. I'm not truly seeing things. But I can tell the difference between something that is designed and something that occurs naturally. And I deduct with deductive, inductive reasoning as well. And through experimentation... through introspection, through outrospection, And I can very easily see when something is created. I look at this. I look at this toothpick. Okay. Right here, Thursday Plantation, Australia's original tea tree chewing sticks. It has the advertisement on the front, little organic statement, Australia, some pictures. Clearly designed to me, has a price tag on it. I open up the plastic case. Each one of the toothpicks is uniformly created, just right for picking my teeth, and tastes very good. What I don't see on here is a pancreas. I don't see a gallbladder. I don't see nipples on a man. Well, we probably need our pancreas, but I don't see a gallbladder. I don't see nipples on a man. I don't see other things that aren't necessary for this toothpick in this clear plastic case. When I see it designed here, it might be imperfect. It might be imperfect, but I don't see extra things that are not necessary for this toothpick box to be here. When I look at this Pink Lady case, it has a cover, some pictures, it looks like crappy art. I open it up, and there's little places for all the three DVDs to rest. Maybe they're a little bit thicker than they needed to be. Maybe they didn't want anti-theft. I don't know. It doesn't have any hands sticking out of it. It doesn't have finger bones in the porpoise's flippers that aren't being used. It doesn't have a hind feet of a snake here. Little atrophied ones. It wasn't designed, it may have been designed by trial and error, but at no point did it have all these things that are not really necessary for the product to work and serve the purpose it was designed for. That's the difference between designers and things coming about naturally, not spontaneously exploding into a person being in front of you. How many mothers give birth? The man and woman, they have sex, and all of a sudden an explosion happens and a baby is there. Not even in the Bible. I mean, Mary gets pregnant by herself, but she didn't just explode a baby out of her. She had to carry, you know, Jesus around for the 9 months or whatever. Who knows? Maybe she carried him, Jesus, around for 900 years. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But it's very well could say that in the Bible, and who knows? Once again, the virgin birth story, you know, an addendum on the concept of which Jesus, you know, which Jesus? Is it the Jesus that shares things in common with his contemporaries at the time, like Augustus Caesar, the virgin birth, all the other virgin births that were talked about at that time, designated by celestial objects in the sky? If a star was flying around the earth to hover over where the baby Jesus was born, we would have been incinerated. Because a star is the same as the sun. They didn't know that back then. I haven't watched this entire clip. And, of course, the other lady that I was talking about before, she's standing up for Elizabeth.
Theory of evolution does work, and we had this discussion early on when I first got here because we were talking about this, and my thought is simply that there is a God, and there is also everything that we know scientifically. Mm-hmm. And I think that God, in its infinite wisdom, said, you know what, I'm going to throw some things out there and see if they can figure it out. See if they can figure out how I put this together. Because what is a Big Bang but a clap from God?
Now that's Whoopi, of course, if you didn't recognize her voice. And that brings up something pretty interesting. I'm glad I listened to the rest of this. She said about the clap and get the clap. You know, we use a lot of terminology that is sort of a phantom terminology. Sometimes we put the cart before the horse, sometimes we don't examine what we're saying. And these are things that I hope that I try to, you know, form the basis of most of my Wiggly World shows. really examining what we say, what we think, what we believe. First of all, the Big Bang. I know one of the leading cosmological scientists and theoretical physicists, Stephen Hawking, probably has differing opinions than I do on this. However, that notwithstanding, just as a layman, as a person that understands the basis for what some of these theories are about, first of all, it's very important that we don't entangle the theory of the Big Bang with the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution is a theory only in the scientific meaning of the word theory, just as the theory of gravity is still only a theory. These are observable facts and the closest thing to the truth that we as a species could ever get. And I think I'm going to be overlapping with next episode, so I'm going to try to curtail things. Many of these things I've already said, but the whole idea of the Big Bang, it's like I said, I've said this before, people can't wrap their heads around E equals MC squared. Okay, all these formulae, the theory of gravity, the theory of gravity does not keep things falling to the earth. Okay, the theory of gravity is a phantom. It doesn't exist as a real thing. You cannot hit yourself over the head with the theory of gravity. Theories are how we explain what we observe. That's why it's not the theory of creationism, because we don't observe creationism ever. No one has ever observed creationism, not in its most basic of forms. We observe evolution every day. Cancer is a type of evolutionary disease. Microbes, we notice the transmogrifications of diseases of we see them changing, and they metamorphosize and they transmogrify and they mystify magic. So we can observe, even, you know, we can't observe the type of evolutionary changes unless we study fossil evidence. You know, you can't monitor that in a laboratory because you'd have to have that laboratory open for a billion years and, you know, millions of years and watch some things go through changes, which is another classic misnomer of how people's flawed understanding of science. We are not descendant from today's modern gorillas or modern monkeys or modern anything. We are cousins to these side chains that branched out millions and millions of years ago. This was not something that happened overnight. This was not something that poofed like people think, Whoopi is saying that the Big Bang did, a big clap from God, or like whatever her name is, the other Elizabeth Scranton Scrotums or whatever. You know, nothing just came about. These things took a long time. And another thing apologists will backpedal on, they say, well, as long as you have a lot of time, you evolutionists can say anything. Well, if you look at the rings of a tree, that big giant oak out here, you could tell how long it took. It didn't just like spring up overnight to be 60, 70 feet tall. You know, every I look out my window and I see this giant tree out there. Or I look at the giant maple that fell on a chicken coop. It didn't just happen, you know, overnight from a little sapling to a giant tree. Things do take time, and they do change over time. And nature gives us these changes all by itself. And this is something we don't observe. I mean, you can take one of these little pills and put it in water, and it grows into a dinosaur cutout 50 times its original size. You know, it's a sponge in a little plastic capsule. That's something created, and you can see that it had a designer. Okay, very unlike the process of natural birth, and birth is a process. It's, you know, another. You could see these things are processes. You can put a time stamp on the creation of the hula hoop, you know, in a production line. You can put copyright 1963 or whatever on it, whenever it was made. You can look at these things, the lens wipes here. You know, it says recycle. It has labels. It says who made it, who distributed it. Made in the USA. It's got a barcode. It's got a banana handle that fits into your mouth just like so. Ooh, ooh, ooh. This is why I need bullet points, because now I'm talking about Rite Aid lens wipe and banana apples. All right, friends. I think that, I don't know. I think I got more to say on that, but I'll save it for next time. The Big Bang, once again, is another thing where most people are under the misconception that, okay, it banged and then everything came out of it. When have you ever seen... I'll talk about this next episode. But you know that I know, and everybody else knows, that there's no reason to believe that it only ever banged, in air quotes, once. Because, number one, it probably didn't have any sound. And number two, it didn't start from big. It was incredibly small. And then, and also, there's nothing that says that it came out of nothingness. There's nothing that says it had to be a big God clap that automatically brought, I don't know, I can't recall what they call this, Enyalo. I never know how to pronounce it. It was one of Aquinas's arguments, among his other bad arguments. You know, it means out of nothing, something. There's no reason that we have to believe that it all started from nothing. There could have been something. And what did the banging, and why is it just that, you know, everyone just thinks, okay, everything got so small and then it blew up. Well, what if there were, you know, 1,000, 1,000,000, 100 billion other attempts to explode out and then compress on itself, then explode out and then compress on itself, and didn't get enough. Then finally, the one that created the universe that we know now. If we look just at our little branch of this Milky Way galaxy that we're in, this off-ended tail offshoot of nothing spectacular, nothing remarkable about where we are in located in our Milky Way galaxy, and even in our solar system, third planet, really nothing special about that. Going around the sun in a non-circular orbit, egg-shaped orbit, the tilt of the Earth is just such a way that it is not perfect. There are no perfect circles. There's no perfect rotation around the axis of our own planet. Nothing that shows the work of design. And I'll talk about this. And I'll probably repeat. So I better stop there. But there's a lot to just in what Whoopi said, just in what the other ladies say, there's a lot to examine just in there. And to examine just in there, I mean, it's obvious that some people need lessons in the history of man. But let alone, you know, trying to bring in high concepts like the Big Bang, high concepts like evolution. These are all things that require a lot of dedicated want to understand. And, you know, it's okay to talk superficially about them. That's what I'm doing. I'm not even in deep in this, you know what I mean? I'm not pushing numbers around. I don't have out a T-square and a slide rule and a triangle. All your fancy technological doodads of today and yesterday and the future. Oh, and hey, I don't want you to think I was laughing at Whoopi's observation of things or how she saw things about, you know, God putting things out there for us to, look at and try to figure out, and you figure out for yourself. That's not remarkable. It's not funny. It's nothing unusual. It's a very widely shared observation of perhaps an evolution of their understanding of a God, or, you know, an all-around being, a truly everything is God type of outlook on life. And I'm not sure exactly that that's what she's talking about, but I mean, this is nothing that I find funny. I just thought her delivery was interesting, and the audience reaction as well. But, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, thinking like that or whatever. It's definitely more new agey, unfortunately, is the moniker that has taken on. But then again, ties back to deism, like many of our founding fathers of the United States of America were deists. They believed that God set things in motion, but he really cares nothing about our day-to-day lives, nothing of a personal savior type of relationship with God, sort of like us, our relationship, humans' relationship to ants. But all this comes back upon us, and all this comes full circle with the recent tragedies. If we learned anything, I just hope that we can learn from. Let me back up. We had an earthquake in Japan. It affected Japan. It affected some parts of the United States as well. I don't know how Hawaii did. I don't know how that all went down. And then they had a terrible tsunami in Japan, and big trouble with their nuclear reactors. Right away, I was almost dreading the spin that would come off of this technology of harnessing nuclear energy, but you have to realize that this was an incredible amount of tectonic plate movement. We live in the year 2011, and to ascribe this as an act of a vengeful God nowadays is just pure insanity, and should be looked at as such. Or to say anything else sensational about it, I don't even remember the exact quote. It was Gaia or something, some frickin' goofball that is given a voice because of his outrageous behavior. I think that's what he said. It was Gaia. It was not God. It was Gaia. And then I heard other people. I was like, how long is it going to be until someone says that this is God, you know, acting out on them? And then in the same thought, I said, well, it would probably be sooner that people will be, you know, airdropping Bibles to them than it would be for someone to come out and say that. And I'm sure both things happen in around the same chronological time space. But because of the tragedy, because of the awesome, you know, this also, well, before I forget, I mean, that plays in with what they were saying earlier on a view there about, being a perfect creation and everything's good. We see how destructive living on Earth can be, how uninhabitable you can't live inside of a volcano as a person. Let's face it. You can't live at the bottom of the ocean, you know, let alone space, the void of space, where, of course, we cannot breathe. We need certain things to breathe. Why do we have these certain things to breathe? Is it because God made us the earth that our lungs would need? You know, so it is the opposite way. We are how we are, so we can survive in the type of climate that we dwell in. Do not separate the foreground from the background. Fish live in the sea because that's how they evolve to live in that environment. They would not do well in the middle of a volcano. They would not do well, flying through the air and living in a bird's nest at the top of a tree. A fish wouldn't be doing so good. So, I mean, we adapt to things, but yet we are shaped by our environment as well. They're trying to raise money for an Alan Watts movie. And every episode I say that as an apple tree apples, this earth peoples. But let's hope that another thing that we are shaken by this disaster, but hopefully we're also shaken to take a bigger view and realize that we are people. When we say we, when I say we, I mean humans. And humans are not the biggest thing on this planet. Not as an animal, not as a entity. We are a part of this planet, but we will lose against the ocean. We will lose against the ocean. We will lose against a volcano. We will lose against a tornado. If it's just us standing there and you drop us in a volcano, we will lose. If you drop us in the middle of the ocean, we will lose. If you drop us in the spout of a hurricane, we will lose. Or of a tornado, rather. Or in the middle of a hurricane with, you know, several thousand mile per hour winds, we will lose. We are not the most... We are not the largest population of animal, our species. There are ants that outnumber us greatly. There are other insects, animals. The germ population outnumbers just about anything else on this earth. And then what about all the things that we would consider non-living, like molecules and atoms and everything else? What about the energy rays that are going through us? The waves, the particles. What about us sharing those same particles with the sun? What about the sun hitting us? The sun, photons from the sun are everywhere. They're everywhere. They're bouncing off of everything. When you look out, and it happens to be your side of the earth happens to be facing towards the sun, we have light. This is all coming from the sun. It takes several minutes to get here. And when we see light from distant galaxies, it takes hundreds of years, thousands of years, millions of years. We're looking back in a time machine. And it's sad when tragedies have to do the shaking. I'm not trying to do a pun there, but because, you know, it's an earthquake. But I mean, it's sad when a global catastrophe is giving you that slap in the face to take it all in, to appreciate this, to be a part of this. Cell phone technology and videos are not the only things that bring us together. We share so much in common with the inhabitants of this earth. We share so much in common with this earth. We, as a species, are more than just our species. We are part of a global community. The global community contains more than just humans. as humans, we have a language and we speak about our cognitive interpretations of what we observe and experience. That doesn't make us smarter than you know, the creatures around us. I see my cat, Mr. Peabody, every day. He gets along just fine. He runs around, does his own things. He's quite brilliant. He has no need, no necessity to use a cell phone. He has no need, no necessity to put on pants. He's fine just catting around. There was that study that said, evolutionarily speaking, that some primates were further evolutionized than humans, based on, you know, a study of their DNA, RNA, I'm not sure what. But they were more evolved, like more towards the perfect versions, the end of their evolutionary journey to whatever, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know enough about it, but I can understand what the concept is. They're more evolved in their evolutionary line than we are yet. But, you know, they, once again, they don't have to wear pants unless we dress them into pants and make them smoke cigars and things like this. Dolphins are incredibly intelligent. They have no need to drive around in cars. They don't really care about contacting ET, you know, doing SETI or anything else like that. Landing on the moon. I was just watching the Onion movie. If you've never seen the Onion movie, it's great. I mean, it's really, really good, and it even ties everything together. I mean, that's what's you see all these random things, and they all actually are relevant to one another. But there's this one part in there where it just spins a you know, newspaper heading from all the. From, you know, all the past headlines of the Onion News, and the one thing's, holy shit, man walks on fucking moon. And you know that it really is that, you know, it really, we our ancient relatives only looked at these gods in the skies and could only dream and imagine, and not even ancient relatives. You know, 100 years ago, it was an impossibility. It was impossible to ever think that a person would walk around on the moon. But yet, Whitey's on the moon. Now, there's something to die for. There's something to sacrifice yourself for. That type of exploration. The brave souls that are willing to be bathed in radiation to try to prevent a nuclear meltdown in Japan. You know, these are the things to die for. Fighting wars over oil. I mean, yes, we all need oil, okay? We need oil because we have to put petrol in our cars. We can't run our cars off the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus never even, like, drove around in one of those Flintstone cars, you know what I mean? It's just, sometimes it's just so baffling to me. It's so baffling to me that people hold these frickin' rags over their heads. And by rag, I mean the Bibles. of these, you know, Bronze Age folk. And I'll talk about it next episode. I was going down a beautiful place, and then it got ugly. It's so intrusive, you know, it's so intrusive. But there's good things, folks, there's good things. And realizing that our bodies are just coursing with, you know, star power, star energy, star light. We are a part of this earth. This earth, that our plants are coming back around our area for spring here, and the green is coming back. We have bulbs that Chiz planted in the fall that are starting to peek out. The flowers are coming out of the ground. And through photosynthesis, these plants, you know, turn this solar radiation into food, you know? So it's amazing. It's amazing stuff. It's great. There's so much to look at. And I hear tomorrow we're going to get 48 inches or something. But, yeah, you know what? That's, we always get this snow around Easter. And I guess Easter should have been around here. Although, you know, once again, Easter is calculated off the second full moon of the ninth month of the third equinox of the vernal cycle of unicorns. And it doesn't tell you something. Doesn't that tell you something about where all this stuff comes from? It's, I mean, every holiday we celebrate just about. Oh, that's another thing I want to talk about. Every holiday we celebrate just about, it comes either from pagan holidays or has now breathed upon itself by you know, other holidays, other religions laying claim to it. But every holiday that I could think of, except maybe for Arbor Day, but that's even a celebration of something far outside of us. But every holiday is pretty much a celebration of things we really aren't in control in, or of a war. you know, so we celebrate the 25th of January because of the equinox there, the solstice, the winter solstice, and then we have spring, and that's another celebration of the solstice or equinox, whatever the hell it is. You know, all very celestial things, all very driven by agriculture and things that were interpreted as cosmological signs and things like this, or just signs to know when it's time to plant, when it's time to start, pick the crops and go inside or go outside and bring the gimmicks in from the fields, the livestock and stuff like this. And remember, you know, these seasonary things were based in the Middle East, in that region. Doesn't necessarily relate to what's going on over here in the United States of America. Although we do share, latitude in conjunction with Germany, where we are on the East Coast here in Pennsylvania. We're pretty much the same climate and everything else as Germany. But, you know, you also have to realize that this was a rainy season in the 25th of 25th of December in Egypt and things like that. So, and also the Middle East and Upper Africa and things like this. So, don't forget that dimension of time. Time is very important as well as location. But I was thinking that, you know, we really don't have too many celebrations that don't have like Saint in front of, like Saint Valentine's Day. Okay, that's got some religious overtones. We have Christmas, which is pagan in origin and breathed Christianity on top of the solstice and all that, and all the other dying and rising saviors from around that time. Easter, still named after Astor, which was originally going to be, they tried to bring her into being the wife of Yahweh, actually. And there were some, before they were even known as Jews back then, there were some Jewish people that were really trying to push that to happen. And then they decided against it. But there's books on it that's God's wife is Easter. So that's religious, and now of course they, you know, like the Passover, and then it's Jesus is the new Passover, all that stuff. So that's religious. Like we have July 4th, that's in the United States, that's a celebration of our independence. So the Declaration of Independence, but that was, you know, British-American wars. So that's based on war. We have, you know, Veterans Day. We have Labor Day. That one's kind of secular. People labored, so now we celebrate Labor Day by taking off. Makes sense. And then, you know, there's just not too many non-religious or non-war-related holidays. So I really want to put a big push on February 7th. I really want to get that out there as hard as I can for 2012. So hopefully I'll be able to start ramping up in December there. I hope that you can join along with me, and we're going to have the theme song in 2012. Definitely going to really be trying to bring this to the front, because it's our holiday by the people and for the people and of the people and with the people. And it's also not just a celebration of human creation, but it's just a celebration of our imagination as well. If you didn't know, I started another podcast where I don't have to do anything except re-release things that I recorded since 2005. It's called Wiggly Archive. Go to wigglyarchive.com and you can subscribe there. And what I've done basically is I would constantly receive requests for, can you put this past episode up on here and share this past episode and that past episode? And I have no problem doing that. But I was like, you know what? Right now, I don't know how great podcasting is, but there's evidently some people out there that still listen and listen on a regular basis, have time at work or what have you, or on this routine or that routine. And I've been releasing stuff since 2005. So why not each week release one of those things that I've released chronologically, as I did from 2005. Now, I never missed an episode of any of the things I was involved with. I don't think I ever missed one week. When I was doing weeklies, which now I don't really commit to weeklies, although We Talk Games has been relatively weekly, I don't know where that's headed. I don't know where I don't know what the future format releases of We Talk Games is. I think I have a fantastic interview that's going to be queued up. I think you'll find it very entertaining if you're a gamer, especially a gamer of that grew up with video games since, you know, their earlier titles. I think it's going to be great. But I just need to sit down with my buddies and get it done. But I put a lot of work into these things, and I do a brief explanation in episode zero, and then the rest is just rerunning things that I've done since then. So it's sort of like podcast reruns, but released each week as people at that time expected my weekly stuff to come out. Every Wednesday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, they get a new episode of Smart Wrestling Fan. Every other Wednesday, I think it was, they would get a magic milkshake machine. Every Monday, we of course did the Chikara Podcast A Go-Go, and that's how it always was. It was like clockwork, and it was pretty regular, very regular. So I thought, you know, maybe it'd be fun to just listen to these, because, you know what, you put out several hundred, you put 500 episodes up on a website somewhere, what are the chances you're going to listen to many of them? You know, you're going to pick and choose. This way it comes out every week, and if you choose to listen to it, you do, and if you enjoy that type of thing, I think that you'll get a kick out of it. I did. I started listening to them again. I said, I say a lot of dumb things. It's amazing to watch a progression of sound quality over the years. But I thought, I'll do that and see what happens. And so far, it's gotten a good return on it, so I appreciate that. Thanks for listening. WigglyArchive.com. Don't forget, WeTalkGames.com. That's what I'm very passionate about right now. It's the only other thing outside of music that I'm trying to take on right now. So I really hope that you would support that if you love video games. It's a really nice community. You could sign in with your Facebook login. We have very few people out of our audience that are actually, on WeTalkGames.com. it's stymieing sometimes. But whatever, if you don't have something to say, I guess you don't go and do it, or maybe you have too many things to do already. Friends, thank you very much for joining in. I'm going to leave you with a song that I was commissioned to write by Kazarni! Kazarni, Arnie, Arnie! Talking about keeping a secret. You didn't even know Kazarni and I were in cahoots and talks. I was approached to create a song for the Batiri. And that's what I did. And, you know, I think it's pretty good. It's I call it Demons Take Three, because I didn't even know that they were called the Batiri when I began this. But lo and behold, this is another one of those theme songs for Chikara. And I hope to be releasing an album of that stuff soon. Whole album of songs that are 1 minute and 36 seconds long. Yikes. Well, my friends, thanks again. Hopefully, within the next month, I'll be able to sit down and do a coherent, focused episode of A Wiggly World. Thanks for joining me, and I really, really appreciate you being out there. Take care, everybody. I'm Wiggly of Wiggly World. Bye.